Please take your Bibles from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. And now reverence to God who came before us today. Luke chapter 15, beginning of verse 11. He also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to eat pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger? I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened cow and slaughter it. And let's celebrate the feast. Because his son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field. As he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants, questioning what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he was has him back safe and sound. Then he became angry. He didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a goat so that I can celebrate with my friend. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets as prostitute, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Son, he said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate your joys, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Wednesday night, we were looking at the previous verses in chapter 15, and we looked about two parables that Jesus gave. And remember our situation leading up to this. Jesus has been at a banquet in a Pharisee's house, and the Pharisees were looking at Jesus, and Jesus told them about the true kingdom of God, and that the kingdom would be offered to all those throughout the world. And the tax collectors and sinners were listening to what Jesus said. They were coming to Jesus. But the religious leaders, they were angry at Jesus because he associated with tax collectors and sinners. So Jesus gave them a parable. Said there was a man, he had 100 sheep, and he lost one. That man went and searched for that lost sheep until he found it. And he gave another parable. There was a woman that had 10 coins. She lost one. And she searched diligently until she found it. The man that found the sheep and the woman that found the coin called together everybody and said, let's celebrate because what was lost has been found. Now, he wasn't talking specifically about sheep and coins. They were illustrating a point. God is the one that searches for what is lost. We are the ones that are lost. Now, sheep don't necessarily think they're lost when they're lost. They can just eat, keep their head down, and keep going and eat the grass, and suddenly no one's around. Now, God knows that we have wandered away. Matter of fact, Scripture says, we all, like sheep, have wandered away. Sheep, understand, are not the brightest of animals. So that we've been told that they will eat themselves off the side of a cliff. The grass keeps going, they keep going, all of a sudden, they're gone. Well, we are like those sheep that need to be guided. But the shepherd, in the parable, went afterward and found the sheep. God came to the heart of his creation to seek and save the lost. It tells us in chapter 19, verse 10. Now, I've always been interested in space, and even with Star Trek and Star Wars, I used to make models. I had a model of the Saturn V rocket. It stood about that high off the ground. I forgot about it until I met a old friend from high school, and we had grown up together, and he told me, oh, I remember you taking that model and explaining how it all works. And, well, down at the tip of Texas, there's a guy named Elon Musk that is designing a spaceship to go to Mars, to take people to Mars. And you can sign if you want. It is a one-way trip. You better be happy to go to Mars. But you know what they're going to find when they get to Mars? That's right. He created it. And if God delays and we go to other planets, God's already been there. He made them all. Creation. Everything that is a creation, is made by God. We're not going to discover something new that God doesn't know about when we get someplace else. We're going to go to God's right here. He, like that shepherd, has come to part of his creation to find us. Because we're lost without him. He is the woman that sought the lost coin. He's the one that rejoices and calls others. Said, I found what was lost. It says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. And then Jesus gives another parable. He's talking about sheep, he's talking about coins, and now he's talking about two sons. Now there's a famous book called The Tale of Two Cities. Well, this is the tale of two sons. Actually, it's two sons of the father. Remember, we look at the situation where God is the one that seeks what is lost. He's going to emphasize that point to the religious leaders. Remember, religious leaders are going, why is Jesus associated with sinners? Which anyway, they're not sinners themselves. Just like our song that we sang just a few minutes ago. Who am I? God of all creation. I'm God. God's the one that's more first son, the younger son, asked the father to divide up the inheritance. Now, normally the inheritance did not get divided until the father was unable to maintain his possessions or he died. The older son would get a double portion, the younger son would get, so if there are only two sons, there'd be three portions. Two to the older son, one to the younger son. Well, it says the father divided them up among them. So the older son has got his two portions, and the younger son's got his one portion. The father has given away all that he has to his two sons. He distributed them. Well, let's think about it in history. There was a great flood that came over the entire earth. On the ark was Noah, his wife, Noah's three sons, and their wife. And out of those eight people, all the world had been populated. Now, I used to mess with my biology students and I was teaching high school. And said, does your cousin go to school here? No. Every now and then, but yeah, my cousin goes to another place. And I always say, no, your cousin goes to school here. Your cousin is in this classroom. Because we're all at least cousins. We might be closer related than that, but we're all related to everybody else. And we might be cousins 10,000 times removed, but we're still cousins. We are all related. So those eight people that came off the ark, they knew about God, but they separated. Filled the whole earth. And the Lord lay, so we'll start going to other planets. And so, now, just back to the space. We're going to need missionaries. We'll be in the space program. I'm calling you being a missionary out of space. Now's your opportunity. We'll start training for that. Well, everybody that got off the ark formed equal groups from all over the world. Everybody that left the ark knew about God because they worshiped God. They had a sacrifice as soon as they came out of the ark. Why did all the world remember about God? Because they've gone to a distant country, separated from the relationship with the Father, and chose to worship other gods. The younger son abandoned his father's house, abandoned the relationship that he had, and he says he wasted everything his father gave him. Foolish living. Turn to me for a moment to Psalm chapter 53. Psalm 53. I know we can look at national ages, but earlier this year. Look at what it says in Psalm 53. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and they do vile deeds. There is no one who does good. The son in a parable went and squandered his things on foolish living, acting like there's no God. And his brother later on says he squandered it on prostitutes. Throughout the Old Testament, prostitution is used as an illustration to Israel, talking about them going to serve other gods. They were married to the true God, and they chose other gods. And so in Scripture, in Old Testament, God calls that prostitution. They had prostituted themselves with the Baals, the Asherahs, the idols that aren't really gods. And so his younger son had gone out and followed the waves and the world and what they say is important instead of the waves of the Father. But it said, the son came to his senses. But there was a great failure. Sometimes we wonder why bad things happen. Sometimes bad things happen. They don't happen. So the younger son come to his senses. We need things to get through our, get through our senses. Because when everything's going very smoothly, we don't realize that it's God that's meant to be so smooth. So when things go bad, we wonder, where is God? And it's not that God's left us, we have God. Or God's trying to teach us. Teach us to be dependent on Him. Now, almost 50 years ago, when I was in boot camp, in that long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, we would go through several months of boot camp, of doing all kinds of things that weren't fun. Calisthenics. I told you about before that we were the alarm clock for our neighboring condition next door, and we would wake them up. Doing calisthenics, but our girl instructor wife, and they call it getting married. We'd be mashing on the floor, push-ups, sit-ups, one of the girl instructors' table was sharp, you arch your back when you're laying on your stomach, hands and feet off the ground. And you're like swimming, trying to get away from the shark. Now, it builds up abdominal muscles, and all this calisthenics builds you up well. Why was all that there? To get you ready for the purpose of being, and maybe the Navy. God has things we're going through here that are preparing us for what's ahead. He didn't always tell us why we're going through the things we're going through. But He is in charge. And He has a purpose for whatever He leads us through. And whatever He leads us through, He provides the strength that we go through. We don't know. God. And that son, through the family, came to his senses. So, what was I thinking? Here I am feeding the pigs. And pigs are an abomination to the Jews. So it's the lowest of low. What am I doing feeding the pigs? I wanted to eat the very. Even my father's servants have it better than this. I've been wrong, said the younger son. And I'm going to go with him to my father. Say, I don't deserve to be the son anymore. Can I just be a hired servant? So he gets up and says, what was the father doing? He had his eyes on the horizon. Because he saw his son coming at a distance. He was waiting for the son to come home. And he did something that men of that age, in the time of Jesus' life, didn't do. The father doesn't run from the son. But here in this, the father did. He ran for the son. The son that had wandered away was coming home. The father ran to him. The son repented. The father said, here, take this robe, give him a ring, let's have a feast. That was my son. This younger son represents the Gentiles and the sinners that had left God, that were now coming back to God. Remember, all the world are descendants of Noah. They were all created by God to serve God, to understand and have a relationship with true God. But most of the world wandered away. We, if we're not of Jewish heritage, would follow along that example of being the younger son. Our heritage is for those that wandered away. We didn't grow up with what the Jewish people did. God embraced him, welcomed him back. And then the older son, he's the one that's representing the religious leaders, people with Jewish background. The ones who are saying, Jesus, he associates with sinners and tax collectors. They thought they were better than everybody else. They weren't sinners. And we all are sinners. That older son, he wouldn't even go to the feast. And the feast is recognized, as Jesus is using several times in his teaching, to talk about the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, when Jesus was in the house of the Pharisees, one guy leaned over and said, blessed is he that eats his bread in the kingdom of God. At feast, talking about God may call peace Christ. Jesus is saying, peace is open to everyone. Sometimes those people that say they've been called to God, they're better than the best people. They don't need to repent. And they're going to refuse to go to the feast. So what does the father do? He goes out to the older son. Come on in. You're invited to the feast too. Jesus went to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders, to draw them in the feast of the kingdom of God. Heaven is there for everyone. All are invited. So a lot of people don't accept the invitation. The older son also thought he could work his way ahead. He told me, Father, I've been working constantly for you. It's not worth it. It's heaven. It requires not to do it. It's not by works. It's in your works. Salvation is a gift. The older son even refused to acknowledge his own relationship. Notice what he says. That son of yours. Sometimes you might have seen that in your thoughts. One couple might say to the other, talking about their own children. That son of yours, did you see what he did? Be careful. But that brother refused to acknowledge his. But the father reminds him, he needs to rejoice. He was dead and now he's alive. Do we rejoice when sinners repent? We should. Do we think we're better than others? Do we act like the older son? God's the Father. He's seeking that which is lost and the choices. Stand before the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you seek us we brought to you. Let us not be acting like the elders, but let us rejoice in the same truth. Jesus.